Father, we pray that this time together will be fruitful in the sense that we will hear your voice, that we will sense something from you that's for us individually, that we'll leave this place today having been changed just that little bit, having grown closer to you, having aspects of our lives changed from one degree of glory to the next, to know that you have never left us. And the songs we sang said it all. Lord, you have a plan and you are totally unstoppable. And we rejoice in you. I pray, give me the words to speak so that it's your words that we hear, not a man's. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you've got me 2 weeks in a row. So I'm preparing for next week. Today is sort of the foundation for that. Is that okay? Hopefully it'll be helpful as it is, but next week's sort of the key thing. I want to share my own story about how I became a Christian. Two reasons for that. I want to give glory to God. And secondly, I want to talk about three factors that are common to everyone's conversion experience and the three factors that are absolutely essential to becoming a true disciple of Jesus. So it's not just so that I can air my story. Let's start at the age of 17. How's that? Just so you do know, I became a Christian on the 1st of August 1971. So if you do the maths, you'll find out that I am now entitled to a pension. I have documentary proof that I'm old. But it's the story that led to that. About the age of 17, I was still in high school. And I think it was a history teacher, set an assignment. And it got me interested. I don't know what the assignment was, but it got me interested to study world religions. And so I started reading in every religion that I could find. And some that you will know, some maybe you don't know. I began studying and reading Hinduism. Yeah. Buddhism. Zoroastrianism. Got you there? It's a Persian traditional religion. American Indian beliefs. Taoism. Shintoism. Confucianism. Wicca, a form of hypnotism, and we might just leave it there. Get the idea? The librarian was really pleased to see me coming because I just kept borrowing books after book after book, and I read everything that I could find because I was interested in what you'd probably call the ultimate reality. Well, the only book I didn't read was the Bible. The reason being, I thought, I'm Australian, Australians are Christian, so I know what it's all about. How wrong could you be? Now, by the time I was 19, and I was training to be a school teacher, so if you've got kids at school, pray for their teachers, you never know what you're going to get. I was trained to be a school teacher, and I decided that none of these religions really satisfied me, so I was going to design my own. And I came up with a thing that I called Unalism, which was universal knowledge. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? And I dressed all in black. I used to greet people like this. Death is permanent. Sound weird? Yeah, I developed a reputation for being a weirdo. That's it. I had a handful of followers. So if I was weird, what do you think about them? Well, it went for a little while. I was attracted at one stage. I heard a man was coming to talk about transcendental meditation. And I thought, I'll go along to that as well. I walked into this room. He's seated on a table covered with white and surrounded with flowers. And he looked like he was spaced out. And I thought, no, this is not interesting to me. I want something that's a bit more practical. The thing that was driving me was that I wanted to be in control of my life. Anyone remember that sort of feeling? I wanted to be, you know, I didn't want anyone to be my boss. I wanted to be the boss of my own life. So I was looking for everything I could find to do that. I added to that some of the martial arts because I thought that's a good way to make sure I'm in charge. You with me? All right. So, weirdo plus. But it wasn't long before I was dissatisfied with that as well. Oh, by the way, I started writing a book. I got 4 chapters written in my book. 2 chapters of science and 2 chapters of philosophy. And would you like to know how many people read the book? Yeah, well, that's exactly how many. No one read it. But I was dissatisfied with that. So I started following the teachings of a man called Lobsang Rampa. So Tibetan Buddhism became my choice. So by the time I'm 20 now, I'm following Lobsang Rampa with a bit of witchcraft and some martial arts. And I was teaching school on an island in the Great Barrier Reef. Okay, here we go. Then the unthinkable happened. I should say this. We used to meet weekly with a group that discussed philosophy and religion. There was about 6, 7, 8 of us. I shared a flat with 3 other guys. One was an alcoholic homosexual. Agnostic. One was an alcoholic atheist. Me, the weirdo. And one Christian. And in our discussion groups, this one Christian would come along. His name happened to be Paul. No relation to the one you read about in the Bible, okay? But he used to come along and just take part, and we'd discuss power and authority, and we'd talk about meditation. And I was not like some Tibetan Buddhists who meditate with a stick of incense burning on their head, and they'd stop meditating when the flame reached their scalp. I'd rather use an alarm clock, thank you very much. But I certainly was involved in all that, transcendental meditation, astral travel. If you know these terms, weirdo. Last night of July, 1971, for once, some strange, I still don't know why, but for the first time in that year, I went to bed without a large knife under my pillow and without a 45 Magnum propped up against the wall. That's how in charge of my life I was. That is a joke, by the way. I was not in charge at all, was I? It's filled with fear, uncertainty, anxiety. But this night, I woke up. Have you ever had such a situation where you wake up in fear? You know, like, what's going on? And that's what happened to me. I woke up with fear. And I looked around the room. I thought, no, it's fine. There's two doors to my room, veranda both sides. Both are locked. I'm safe. Why did I wake up? I don't know. Oh, well, go back to sleep. I woke up a second time with fear. Third time it happened, I woke up and I was quite frightened. I was terrified. And I assumed something had woken me up. Okay, and this is where it gets really weird. I looked around the room. Now, doors are locked. Windows are closed, heavy drapes are pulled, it's pitch black in this room. And as I'm looking around, I can't see anything. Then I realise, hang on, over there against the bookcase in the corner, there's a darker shadow than anywhere else. Why? So as I looked at it and stared at it quite intently, the shadow came apart from the wall and walked toward me. Well, I assume it walked, but I couldn't see legs. Just it moved toward me. Okay, getting weird yet? Now, as I got closer, I looked even closer, and I could see that this being was about that tall. And all I could see was the shape of someone wearing a tapered robe with a hood. So just the head shape, shoulders, and then draping down. Sorry about that. Forgot the microphone. I ceased to be a Buddhist. See, according to Buddhism, that could only be an elemental being, And the elemental beings are so terrified of humans that I just say boo and it'd run away. And I looked at this thing and said, there's no way in the world you're going to run away if I say boo. I ceased being involved in witchcraft because I knew I had no power over this thing at all. Martial arts? Well, look, I decided, and it happens very quickly, of course, I decided I had three options. I could scream. Good grief. I'm a guy. I'm not going to scream. I'd rather die, which I thought I was going to. I could run. I figured by the time I get out, he's right next to me, my right shoulder, just here. I thought by the time I get out of bed, get to the door, unlock the door, and get, I'm dead a dozen times. I could fight. No. I was completely outmatched. I assumed I was going to die. Now, since then, I've thought about it. I was not going to die. Well, something worse than death, maybe. See, about 2 weeks before that, I had had a dream in which I had progressed to a new level of power and authority in my studies. I think that was an evil spirit that had come to take possession of me. So I'm lying there still, not knowing what to do. Everything I believed in has gone. And all I could remember was this Christian guy, Paul, talking once about the power of Jesus' name. And I thought, what have I got to lose? Now, I didn't believe in Jesus at all. But I've got nothing else. So I remember saying, I'm not sure of the exact words, so I'll give you the two versions that are in my mind. In the name of Jesus, get out of here. That's sort of the more polite one. In the name of Jesus, get lost. Whatever it was, that thing moved backwards up to the wall and disappeared. Now, you can imagine I didn't sleep very much that night. But the dawn came eventually. It was a Sunday, the 1st of August. And I'd promised this Paul that I'd go to church with him. He trapped me, actually. He's a cheeky guy. He said, you're a Buddhist, right? Yeah. Buddhists believe every religion is truth. Yes, that's right. In that case, you'll come to church with me, won't you? Well, of course I will. Oh. I committed to go. And I had to go because I couldn't let a Christian prove me wrong. So I went with him. An Aboriginal Inland Mission Church. The preacher that day was Church of Christ. Paul was an independent Baptist. So I figure I'm covering the bases pretty well. The preaching was really, really good.